Welcome to the inaugural episode of this project we don't have a name for yet. I'm Luke T. Harrington, and I'm sitting here with author KB Hoyle.
Woo! That's me.
All right. And by sitting here, I mean like we're connected via the internet because we're like 10 states apart.
Yes. Is it really 10 states?
I have no idea. I haven't counted.
I don't know. Geography is hard.
Eastern half of the country, man. The states are tiny, right?
Like, yeah, I'm not in the east. I'm central. I'm in the same.
Well, you're east central, as am I.
Well, I suppose so.
I mean, we're both kind of on the eastern edge of central time. So
yeah, it's true.
It's true. So. What we're doing here, briefly, is both of us are the greatest living author of our generation. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's what we decided.
And basically, we're bored out of our skulls, so we decided to try something different. We're working on a collaborative project that we will publish chapter by chapter on the internet for free because we're generous souls like that. And it will be supported entirely by Patreon patrons. Is that how you say that? Patreon patrons?
You know, you really shouldn't ask me because I have a real block when it comes to the word Patreon. I, for a long time, was just calling it Patronus until my husband just kind of kept laughing at me. So yeah, I think Patreon is the right way to say it. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we are live on the air tonight. We are going to select a genre for our project. We're going to select a handful of content for it, and we're going to flip a coin and see who gets to write the first chapter. And if we're really sharp, we might even come up with a tentative title for the thing. What do you think?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We have a lot to decide. The project that we're doing here, as Luke mentioned, is this collaborative storytelling experiment is kind of what we're calling it here. So that's what the Patreon, as it's called, is called. And so yeah, Luke and I are both novelists of some renown.
Some we mean very little.
Very little. No, but in all seriousness, Luke, I feel like we should kind of talk ourselves up and tell people why they should be excited about us and why they should be excited about this project. Between the
I think
two
it's
of
because
us,
we're fabulously good looking.
Oh, of
right?
course we're fabulously good looking. and we actually have some experience. Really, I was thinking about this because I've been writing professionally for 10 years, and I was thinking back, and I was like, okay, when did people I don't know, you know, not my family or close friends, start to pay me for my written words? And it really goes back to 2009. And when I started out in self-publishing, but then was eventually picked up by a small press out of Australia and was with them for about 5 years. And then they went out of business, but I picked up an agent, and I've been with my agent now for 2 years. And have written multiple novels. And I'm a young adult novelist. I write fantasy and science fiction. We'll have some links involved with all this. You guys can learn about all of our works. So I've been writing about 10 years professionally. And Luke, how long have you been writing professionally?
Depends on how you, what you mean by professionally.
Like people you don't know paying you for your words.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I have been getting paid for my writings about as long as you have. Although, you know, as some people are probably aware, my focus has been I've been much less focused in my writing than you have. Like, I get the impression from you that you're someone who kind of grew up being like, I want to grow up and write fantasy and sci-fi for young adults. Yes. Or something like that. Yes. I'm someone who's, I've always been, you know, I've kind of always had the vague idea that I wanted to be a writer, at least after they rejected me from American Idol, which really hurt my feelings. But, you know, I'm still talking about that with my therapist. so you know, I've always definitely known I wanted to do something creative, and I've known I was good at writing. I've never really known what I wanted to write, so my efforts have kind of been all over the place. Like, if you had talked to me 10 years ago, I would have told you I'm a film critic, which I'm really not anymore. I burned out on that pretty fast. You can only sit through so many mediocre movies before you say enough is enough, you know? Mm. You know, after I gave up on that, I started writing, I started writing a thriller, you know, cause I was like, I'm going to be a literary horror novelist, you know?
Cause why not?
Yeah. But what eventually really took off for me more than anything else was, humor, like humorous essays, often Christian tinged humor.
And I just like butt jokes, right?
Yes, the Bible and butt jokes, those are my specialties. And I might as well say this because it's going to be public knowledge soon, I just signed my first contract with a Big Five publisher, with HarperCollins, to publish a book next year, which is going to be a nonfiction book in a humorous vein called, it's the tentative title right now. They might change it on me again, but the title at the moment is going to be Murder Bears, Moonshine, and Mayhem, Strange Stories from the Bible to Leave You Confused and Uncomfortable. So, I have had most of my success in nonfiction at this point, but my real passion is writing fiction. So that's why I'm still here, and that's why I'm collaborating with you. And hopefully this will turn me into a world famous novelist. What do you think?
Right. I think so. So like, basically everybody at this point should be getting the idea that both Luke and I are a very big deal with, you know, much success, much amaze, many excite, all that. Both of us have
You've written like 10 books, all of which are currently self-published. I've written one book.
like 8 of my books were with an independent press for a while before the rights had to revert to me. And I've actually written, 12 or 13 now. I don't even know. It's hard to keep track. But between the two of us, we've won a handful of, independent book awards and things of that sort. And we both have been, I'm currently a columnist at, Christ in Pop Culture. You used to write a column at Christ in Pop Culture as well. And we are currently both, staff writing over there as well. So we both write a lot, like all the time. And between the two of us too, we basically have a combined 20 years experience in the writing industry across a variety of, like, basically all the fields of publishing that you could possibly want to know about. So,
that's true.
Like, we know a lot of stuff. So basically, if you have any interest in learning about writing or following people who, you know, have a lot of passion for the written word and who love fiction and love storytelling, that's us. We love it. We have put many years into it. And how do we get to know each other, Luke?
Well, I mean, I think the original link was Christ and pop culture, right? Like I was writing right. there, and you were a supporter initially.
Yeah,
Christ and pop culture, for anyone who doesn't know, is a, I mean, it's a Christian website, but it's a website oriented toward analysis of pop culture,
right.
which is, you know, a lot of Christian websites do that now. When Christ and pop culture started out, it was one of the few who took pop culture seriously and really engaged with it, as opposed to just, you know, counting nipples and F words or whatever.
Right.
Which is also fun for other reasons.
Right, but, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have been officially on staff with them since early 2014, I think. And what I wrote for them mainly, I wrote very little pop culture analysis. I wrote a couple of humor columns, for them. I originally wrote something called LOL Interwebs, which, was like a column about internet culture. And then until fairly recently, I was writing a column called D-List Saints, which was a very slanted take on church history. It was lots of fun. But anyway, I was writing for them. You were supporting them. We kind of, I think we met each other originally in the group for writers who were associated with Christ and pop culture.
Or just in the forum. It was just in the forum.
Just in the forums, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I first started interacting with you, I was like, oh, she seems like a really pretentious person who thinks she's a writer. Which you probably are, right. But
right. Well, most writers are pretentious.
Right. But around the time, shortly after the time we met, I was publishing my first novel, which is a, you know, like a literary thriller called Ophelia Alive, published by a little tiny horror imprint in Ohio called Postmortem Press. And you were just really supportive of me in doing that. And I was, you know, I was not expecting that from you, to be honest. Like, I've never really had that. I've always felt like, hey, I need a mentor, but no one wants to mentor me. Oh, boo-hoo. That's been my life. But you, you know, I was looking for people to read the book and blurb it, and you actually did read it, and you actually wrote me a really good blurb, which I appreciated. And yeah, and once it was out, you were like, hey, Luke, you should submit it to all these awards that, you know, to win some awards. So I guess you kind of dug my book, which felt good. like, hey, this successful writer digs my book. So I submitted it to several that you recommended, including an award called Literary Classics, and they gave it 3 awards, which was pretty cool. And then they had a conference for winners of the award. So, you know, you had won an award that year and I had won an award. So we both went to the conference, and something about meeting you in person was just really kind of incredible. Like, we just hit it off immediately. Like, you know, we had a certain chemistry that I never really felt online, or at least hadn't felt before that. We just had a lot in common, which is interesting because, you know, on paper, we seem like very different people. We like very different movies. We write very different books.
Yes, that's true.
But we had, but when we met in person, we had like a really good rapport. And I was just like, yeah, this is someone who I want to be BFFs with. So here we are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was kind of funny because, you were someone who was like, you were very difficult to get a read on online. Like, I was actually really nervous to meet you in person. I was like,
really?
I'm not sure that I'm going to like Luke very much. you know, I was like, I mean, I was always very supportive of you because, you know, you were going through the whole publishing your book with a small press, you know, and I had been through, I knew small press, you know, inside and out, lots of experience with small press, published, you know, 8 books with small press, and was just interesting. And you had lots of talent. You know, it was apparent to me reading your book that you were very talented. And I but I was nervous to, you know, I was interested in helping you further your career as a novelist, but I was really nervous to like meet you in person. And here we were going to this conference and I was like, oh my word, I've got to spend like, you know, a weekend with Luke. I'm like, this is gonna be so awkward.
You're not the first person to dread that.
But no, it was great. Like we had a blast. And lest anyone thinks this is anything untoward, Luke and I are both in happy marriages to other people. But no, we had a blast, and it was like, yeah, we're like real friends now. And yeah, it was a real friendship was born. So it was one of those happy, you know, like, okay, you meet, you know, someone you've known online in real life. And, it was, but we are kind of an odd couple. And that is something that's going to make this project, I think, really fun for people to follow along with. As Luke and I have been planning this project, I said, this is going to be like Jessica Day writing a novel with Nick Miller. And Luke goes, he was quiet for a while, and then he messaged me and he goes, okay, I had to Google that reference. And I was like, that just proves it.
Which, by the way, I have managed to watch like the first four episodes of New Girl since that conversation. And I'm still confused which of us is which in this equation.
Okay, well, no, that's perfect. That's perfect because, you know, the whole point is kind of like they're an odd couple. Like they're, you know, they're different, but they're actually kind of very similar. Like, you know, and I didn't mean that. I mean, you're a little bit kind of grumpy-ish. You're grumpier than I am, definitely. definitely. But I definitely have more like bright-eyed optimism and enthusiasm than you do. So I think it's not a perfect analogy, but I think that that's what people will find. And because you're like the horror writer and I am the, like, you know, I'm a young adult writer. Like I love all the like young adult stuff and I am the unending optimist. So I think that this is going to be great.
Also, don't think it was lost on me that in episode four, they both see each other naked. So is that part of this equation? Or?
No. No, that's just no. I was not taking that into consideration. However, later in the show, Nick does become an author. He's writing a zombie novel.
Really?
Which is a terrible novel, which is not meant to be like... like me editorializing about you, but I think, like keep watching, and I think you'll notice the parallels kind of coming out.
All right.
Well, it's kind of funny though too. I mean, maybe we should let people know. Like, so we're both stay-at-home writers. Like, we actually kind of run freakishly parallel lives. it's true though, like. Yeah. You know,
we both have Uber nerds for spouses.
We do. Yeah. in the best possible ways. And like you're a stay-at-home full-time writer / dad, and I am a stay-at-home full-time writer / mom.
All my kids are girls and all your kids are boys.
And all my kids are boys. Like, we're just kind of in the same stages of life right now. And especially like, but we're also in the same stages of life, just in our careers, which is, I think kind of remarkable. And it's something that makes us a good match for this sort of project. Like I have an agent, and several books out there and I'm out on sub. So my agent has some manuscripts, that we're working on subbing out to editors with big five publishing houses right now. And you, I don't know if you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an agent, but I did just sign my very first big five publishing contract. So, yeah, we were arguing earlier about, you know, which of us was the less successful one.
Or the more successful.
Or the more successful one.
See, just today, Nick Miller. See? Yeah.
So we're both, can we say we're both just kind of bubbling like just beneath the surface of publishing success?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that we're both just kind of like, we can see and taste where we want to be.
I think it's safe to say that 2020 will be the year we both take the world by storm. Is that fair?
I think so. I think that's
2020
fair.
2020 will be the year of Hoyle and Harrington. Yes.
Exactly. That, and you know what? This project that we're doing, this collaborative storytelling experiment, I think could be part of it, because it's going to be so much fun. And it's really going to stretch us. And so getting a little bit more into the project. So your writing style and my writing style, I think, are pretty different. So we've already talked about how we write different genres usually, but like, why don't you talk a little bit about your usual like writing style and process?
Yeah, I feel like I'm the one who knows how to write a good metaphor and you're the one who knows how to tell a good story. Is that fair?
Sure. Yeah. I would say that's like when I read, just have beautiful prose, you know, you put a beautiful sentence on the page. That is definitely your strength. And I'm not saying that, like, I don't think my words are like ugly or gross or anything like that, but I love the bones and the structure of a story. I find that a story is beautiful and true and good if it is just thought out and planned and structured to perfection.
And that's why you like Marvel movies. And
it's part of why I love Marvel movies.
They bore me out of my mind. Because I can acknowledge like the essence of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, I mean, it's objectively very cool that they've made this many dozens of movies and they all work together to tell this enormous story, but I just don't care.
Now, unless anybody thinks I'm just like totally basic, I also love movies like Arrival. Okay. Or like First Man was my favorite movie of, last year already, like Blade Runner. I love Blade. Like, I love a good movie too, but yes, I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This, like, what's going to really stretch me about doing a project like this, where we are, we're doing it improv style, choose your own adventure is something you and I have talked about, basically. So like, like you and I, and we're going to decide on the podcast. If you're like, oh, these two are boring, like stick it out. Like we're going to choose on the podcast. Here tonight, which of us is writing the first chapter, okay? The genre, some basic content points, and which of us is writing the first chapter. Like, we really haven't planned out, like, anything beyond that. Improv style basically means that, like, we are writing it by the seat of our pants, and I am not a pantser at all. I always plot my novels to perfection, basically, before I write. I have a complete outline before I start writing. I do all my world building ahead of time. I do all my characterization ahead of time. And then, of course, every time you write a book, there's always, you know, growth that happens organically and everything like that. But I'm a very detailed plotter.
Anyone who's read my book knows that the way I write is write cool sentence, write another cool sentence that comes after it. So
yes. And I think that it happens at the expense of story. So
often, yes.
I think that, again, we're kind of an odd couple to do this sort of project together. So the this is going to be like, I mean, it's really like a choose your own adventure story where each of us is like writing a single panel, you know, like those great old choose your adventure books, right? So you can only like see a panel. It's like each of us is creating a panel and then like I'm handing the book off to you and like you get to choose where it's going the next page, but we each only get to see a panel at a time. And that's going to make it like super fun and spontaneous. But for someone like me, it's also going to give me like a heart attack every now and then. What do you think your challenge is going to be with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably both going to push each other, which is going to be really great. Okay, I'm sorry. Now I have to think for a second.
Well, while you collect your thoughts, I will talk a little bit about improv style. When I was a teenager, growing up in Chicago, I took improv classes with Second City, which was just amazing, as you can imagine. Second City.
I mean, you would have wasted your time in Chicago if you hadn't done that.
So. Right, exactly. I mean, they're the famous improv company. One thing that they taught us, and this is just kind of the main thing I took away from improv classes with Second City, was that, and I don't remember, like, it was kind of like a rule, but I don't remember exactly what they called the rule, but the essence of the rule was you don't contradict what someone else you're acting with, like, sets up for you.
It's yes and.
Yes and. Okay, great. Yes. So you understand this, right? So
I
for
do.
The benefit yeah. of the listeners, like, if somebody, you know, like, says, oh, and I'm a wizard, you don't turn to them and say, actually, you're not a wizard. You're a doctor, right? And so that's going to be a principle that you and I are going to need to work with
right.
as we're writing the book, is it's always going to be yes and, you know, and
right.
building internal logic off of that within the story.
Well, and you and I both have, you know, a background in performance. We've both done theater. We've both done
yes.
improv. So I think that that'll be a fun part of it for sure. Yeah, no, I think probably the hardest part of this for me will be that you are really going to want to steer this story. Because we've talked about this before, that you are definitely the type A in this relationship.
I am.
And I'm basically, like, I was born, you know, 30 years too late, and I basically would have been a hippie if I had been born in the late 50s, early 60s. And I'm just always like, yeah, man, just go with the flow, man. It's all good. But I'm going to have to learn to assert myself narratively as opposed to just writing cool metaphors, which is what I really want to do.
Metaphor. But, you know, you also need me to keep the story on track.
Oh, yeah. It's all about you, isn't it?
See, this is totally Jessica Day and Nick Miller. You need to keep watching New Girl. The funny thing is, I am not a type A personality in any other aspect of my life except for storytelling, except for writing. And I was a totally unsuccessful storyteller until I learned to let my left brain take control of my right brain. But that is something that I public speak about, so I won't go off on that tangent. Anyhow. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's going to be a challenge for you. See, I'm even telling you what's going to be
true.
A challenge.
It's true. You're basically my writing mom, so.
I am your writing mom, and that's been proven in our relationship, hasn't it?
It has. We've, you know, Karen and I have talked about this a lot in the past, but we've decided probably at least 80% of my success is due to her kicking me in the butt. My book that will be coming out next year from HarperCollins is only coming out from HarperCollins because she pushed me to pitch it, on Twitter on book pitching days.
It's true. And I'm very, very happy for Luke. I mean, of course you can push someone to pitch all day long, but it, you know, my influence means absolutely nothing if Luke hadn't written an excellent book. So.
All right, so should we move on to the moment we've all been waiting for when we find out what kind of book we're actually writing?
Yeah, let's do that.
We decided this would be the most fun if we just picked everything at random. So what we each did was we each made a list of six genres we'd like to work in. We're going to each pull two from a hat, and we'll... From that list of four, we will choose three to combine. Is that correct?
Yes, because we can discard one. We're going to discuss it, and we can discard one, and Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Okay, I'm excited.
So who's going first? Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. I'm excited to find out what genre I'm going to spend the next year of my life writing. So,
all right, I'm wrestling around in a physical box over here. Okay. Oh, okay. First one I pulled is Coming of Age.
Coming of Age. Okay. I'm going to pull one. Exorcism.
Yours are really specific. I went with more broad ones.
Didn't discuss specificity in advance, so
we had a lot of other things to be figuring out. Okay, so the next one I am pulling. Paranormal.
Okay, that would dovetail with exorcism very well.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna pull another one. Pirate Adventure. Okay, I've been reading Treasure Island with my 6-year-old daughter, if that's not obvious. So
I gotta say
that book, I don't know if I appreciated it when I read it as a kid, but man, that book holds up. But I mean,
I think it's been forever since I've read that.
Yeah, obviously it's been like a classic for 150 years, so it's not that much of a revelation to say it still holds up, but it's a very good book.
Yeah.
In any case, I think it's quite clear that Pirate Adventure is the odd man out here.
Unless
you want to write a story about a pirate getting exercised.
I don't really want to. I think we should probably get rid of it. I mean, it's hilarious, but I think we should probably get rid of that one because it would involve research.
My understanding of pirates is people wear a lot of eye makeup and dreadlocks, and they stumble around and mumble like Keith Richards.
Although, okay. hang on a second, though. I actually want to make, I'm rethinking. I think I could make an argument that maybe we should get rid of exorcism, because exorcism isn't really a genre so much as something you would do.
It is arguably, though, a whole genre of horror. Like, there, you could make stacks and stacks of the horror novels about exorcisms.
Okay,
or the movies about it. You know, I mean,
is exorcism going to be off-putting to some people who might want to support us?
Maybe.
Considering the fact that, like, my usual audience is, like, I have a lot of middle grade readers.
Sure.
And young adult readers.
Are you saying you really want to write a paranormal pirate adventure? I mean,
I don't know. I'm trying to think of this through. Pirate adventure doesn't have to be like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. It could also be like a modern pirate adventure.
It could be like people stealing music on the internet.
It could be pirated music on the internet. Definitely. There's more ways. That's really good, actually. There's more ways to interpret pirate adventure than we might think.
It's true.
Maybe
we could write a story about a kid who gets possessed by the ghost of pirates.
Oh. I see where you're going.
The reality is, like, if we combine Coming of Age, Paranormal, and Exorcism, like, those are, I mean, that's barely even a blend of genres, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true.
That's just, you know, one is just a more specific form of the other, and the third, Coming of Age, probably goes along with that, whether we want it to or not.
True. If you really wanted an exorcism, you could definitely, you know, work that in with the paranormal aspect of it.
That's true. I'm not like attached to any particular combination of these. Like, I would be fine with any three of them, to be honest. I do like coming of age stories, although in fairness, it's hard to think of a story that isn't a coming of age story.
Yeah. But that does help to like ground it a little bit, like in themes
it
and
does.
Stuff.
It does. I mean, that gives us a very loose outline for the work as a whole, at the very least.
Yeah. I think it's between Exorcism and Pirate Adventure. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to like seriously regret if we write a Pirate Adventure.
You're going to regret it if we write a Pirate Adventure?
But I'm trying to decide if I'm going to regret it if we write a Pirate Adventure. Will you regret it? I don't know.
Like, here's the thing about Pirate Adventures is it's really kind of a dead genre. Like, there haven't been any particularly great pirate novels or movies in at least 50 years, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I mean, the first Pirates of the Caribbean might be the one exception. Like, that's the only thing I can think of. So on the one hand, it might be interesting to do that. On the other hand, maybe like people won't be into it because it's so dead as a genre. I don't know. Like, I mean, like in internet culture, I feel like 80% of the jokes are about either ninjas or pirates. So maybe that's a way of going viral. I don't know. Like when I put Exorcism on the list, I really didn't expect to draw it. Like it's not a genre I'm attached to. I just thought I should put a couple of horror genres on the list.
But paranormal could easily be horror.
You know what? Like one of my passions is maritime ghost stories. So why don't we just do a paranormal pirate adventure coming of age story? Honestly.
There we go.
Are we good
it's
with that?
Decided.
It is decided.
I'm good with that. Yay!
And I guess you can do as much research as you want. I don't know if pirates necessarily have to be realistic to be compelling, though. You know,
that's true. Well, it's paranormal. You know, the paranormal opens it up for fantasy elements.
It's true.
It's going to be fun. Okay. All right. We need to move on because people listening to this are pretty like, all right, move on already. You've decided. Move on. Let's see here.
So the next step is we're gonna pick three elements that have to be in the story. So we each have a list of six elements, just kind of like literary archetypes. Yeah. Not really archetypes, just things, basically.
I grabbed totally random things.
Okay. I did as totally well. There's random. No theme to what I have here. So
no theme. These are things. Now, I think we decided that these just have to show up in the book at any point, right? Yeah. Or do we want them to be like in the first, certainly not the first chapter.
I mean, I'm thinking it'll probably be a really tricky stunt to cram them all into the first chapter.
Right.
Depending on what we draw.
In the book at some point. And then like, and we can make note of it like when they, you know, show up or whatever. We could even assign them. We could do that at a later time as, you know, assign them. But for right now, these are just things that have to show up. And we could have patron benefits later on to have, you know, take a poll for other random things that need to show up in the book. Just for funsies, if we really wanted to, if people want to get involved like that.
That's true.
But these are random things. And this is just to shake things up a little bit. So do you want to do the draw? We're doing the same thing.
Let's do the same thing. You draw one, I'll draw one. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'm drawing the first one. And it's a giraffe.
A giraffe. Hey, pirates can sail to Africa. It's possible.
It's true.
It's possible. Okay, I'm going to draw. I'm going to draw one. Here we go. Here we go. Jazz music. So we're going to have a giraffe who plays the saxophone or something. It'll be great. A pirate giraffe who plays the sax.
They don't have to be combined. All right. All right, this one's easier. It's just a knife. That's no fun. I had some more fun ones in there. Whatever.
A knife. All right. Wow. Yeah.
A knife.
Yeah.
I didn't get real creative with that one. I'm sorry.
Hard to not have knives when you have pirates, but
Yeah, well, I didn't know we were going to be writing a pirate adventure.
Sure you did. You must have known in your heart.
I intuitively knew it.
All right, here we go. The fourth and final item. Centaurs. You know what would be really cool is like centaur giraffes, right? With like the body of a horse and the torso of a giraffe, right? They've got like an extra set of hooves just like flopping around in the air, you know?
Of one of these, or are we just keeping them all?
Oh, I think we should probably get rid of one, but so what? We have a knife, giraffes, centaurs, and jazz.
I don't know how you're gonna work centaurs.
I mean, if it's a paranormal pirate story, I think anything goes.
Well, okay,
maybe the pirates are centaurs. We can drop centaurs if you want. I'm not attached to them. I mean, honestly, that was the last thing I added to my list, like just because I wanted to put something that seemed totally random to me on there. So.
I mean, we can always keep it in. I mean, we could get rid of knife because it's like, duh. I mean, obviously knives are going to show up and keep the fun stuff in.
So giraffes, centaurs, and jazz.
Yeah. Let's do it. Because those are the things people will be looking for.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. People are going to come back every chapter and be like, man, when is that giraffe going to show up? Dang it.
Looking for these centaurs. All right. Just to let people know, Luke and I decided that we're going to write this thing in like a dual perspective, first person. So each of us is going to take, not only is each of us going to take, you know, every other chapter, but Luke is going to write an adult character, and I'm going to write a teen character, a young adult character of some sort. And each chapter will be written in first person through the voice of each of our characters. But we do need to decide, Luke, if we want to write it in past tense or present tense.
Well, I think you know how I feel, and I think I know how you feel.
I don't know how I feel.
Have you ever
I
written
know
a book in present tense?
Yes, I have.
Have?
Yeah, and I thought you'd read it, but maybe we're not friends.
Wait, is Breeder written in present tense?
Yes.
It's been a while since I read it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I don't.
Well, if you didn't notice, then that means I did it. I did a good job. So,
yeah.
You know.
Go you. Good job. I mean,
what would you prefer?
I mean, I personally am pretty attached to present tense, just because I feel like past tense is super overdone.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, all right, cool. Because I just, like, this is me being all literary, which I know you can't stand, but I feel...
I am literary.
Are you? No, I feel like, I just, every time I read a book that's just, like, written in the typical past tense narrative voice, I'm just like, ugh. I think I posted once on Twitter that, like, traditional narrative voice is the soap opera lighting of fiction. You know, it's just like, learn some style.
You're so deep.
I really am. No, I'm just pretentious, and I've come to accept that about myself.
You with your hot takes. Okay. I enjoy, if I'm writing in first person, I actually prefer for it to be in present tense. It gives it a certain...
There's an immediacy to it. Like, these are the thoughts going through my character's head now. And
see, I
you
know
don't know which way they're going to go.
See, Luke, for all his pretension, he talks about being literary, but who is it who teaches creative writing courses? Oh, yeah, that's me. That's right.
I could do that if I wanted to.
Oh, sure. So we're going to be writing this in first person present tense, but a dual perspective. So it'll be switching back and forth, and Luke will be the adult character, whoever that may be. And we decided that we're going to go ahead and let it be determined based on or like character names and whatnot be determined based on whoever ends up writing the first chapter, which is risky business. But that makes it fun. I mean, that gives a lot of power to the person writing the first chapter. So we're going to figure that out. I have our names written on pieces of paper and I'm going to draw them out of the box.
How do I know I can trust you to do a fair job?
Because I'm trustworthy. I'm so trustworthy. All right. So, and I folded them up real tight so I couldn't see, and I've shuffled them and shuffled them. So the person writing the first chapter is Luke.
Oh, man.
Luke.
More homework. Dang it.
The first chapter of our coming of age paranormal pirate adventure that's written in dual perspective, first person, present tense.
It's going to be great. I'm excited.
It's going to be great. And it means that you are going to be choosing things like character names, at least the initial characters that show up. So you will probably be naming my character because I'm going to assume that my character will show up. Have you decided whether you're going to be writing a male or a female character? Are you still thinking about that?
I haven't. What do you think I should do?
Well, that's up to you. I don't really have a preference. I've written both male and female teenage characters, and I'm kind of comfortable either way. So I will let you take the reins and direct, you know, the first chapter, whichever direction it needs to go. I mean, you said that I would be controlling, so I'm just going to step back. I'm going to let you do it. And you get to decide.
Of course, what's probably going to happen is that I'll write a character in my chapter that's like very obviously intended to be your character, and then you'll be like, create a new character or pick one of the minor background characters or something. It'll be great.
Yeah, I'll be like, no, I'm not doing that one, which I suppose would be my prerogative to do for chapter two if I really wanted to. So, you know, all y'all listening to this, chapters one and two will be like, wow, like edge of your seat. You know, you'll want to be paying attention. So that this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think the only things we haven't really discussed is like, okay, like chapter length. Like,
haven't talked chapter length. That's true. My take on that is that the internet tends to favor snackable content, so I'm thinking relatively short chapters, 5 to 10 pages.
Sure,
is that short, or is that?
Yeah, 5 to 10 pages, double spaced, would be. Is that what you're thinking? Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, like 12-point font, double space, like Word docs type.
So that's like 1,000 to 3,000 words ish, right? Something in that neighborhood. So we're of the same mind there then.
That's about where I would naturally fall in writing a chapter. So I just wanted to make
sure. Actually, we should argue some because that'll make for a more engaging podcast.
No, I usually write, you know, 70-page chapters. No. But,
that's the mark of a great writer is being able to go on forever and not wrap it up, right?
Right there.
We'll do short chapters then. And we're going to do 2 chapters a month. Website will launch in early October, hopefully, which is when this podcast will go up. And then we'll do one chapter at the mid-month every month and one chapter at the end of the month. Is that the plan?
That is the plan,
and we're
going to
keep doing this podcast as well. Are we doing this monthly or are we going to do bi-weekly?
We're going to do a podcast every month. So every month we will discuss. Now this first podcast is for everybody, but the podcast is going to be a patron benefit. So moving forward from here, if you want to keep up with this project, you will need to be supporting us. So the podcast is going to be discussing what we wrote that month. So Luke, I guess the podcast will be an end of the month sort of deal as we take stock of the 2 chapters that, you know, we wrote, and we talk about basically like, why did you do that to me? Or, you know, here's what I did with this character. Here's why I made these decisions. We will talk about the story, but we will try to avoid, I'm assuming we'll try to avoid as much as possible, like discussing the, you know, future direction of the characters, because we really want this to be an improv style story. Yeah. Where it is, you know, the future is unknown. So the podcast will be discussing what we've already written. The Patreon, I almost said Patronus again. The Patreon will include benefits where y'all can ask us questions that we will answer on the podcast, and you can just do some interaction with us about that, and maybe even contribute a little bit to the creative outlook of the story itself. So, and we will talk some more later about what some of those benefits of the Patreon are going to be, as well as eventually we're going to name this book. And now that we know what we're actually writing, and patrons also will get advanced looks at the chapters before they go live on the interwebs for everybody to see. So,
I've actually got a great idea for what we can title this book. We're going to call it The Ghost Centaur Giraffe Pirate. What do you think?
That sounds terrible. That sounds like a trash book. Like, why would
you read it? That? I mean, honestly, be honest, you'd read it.
Can you imagine that on the cover of a book?
It's no worse than Amish. What is it? Amish vampires in space.
Oh my word! Yeah.
So I actually,
that's true.
I don't personally know the guy who wrote that, but I've got a mutual friend, and I've interacted with him a little bit, and he actually just signed a contract with a movie studio to option his book. So
yeah, I saw that actually.
Somebody
yeah.
likes it.
Yeah.
All right. So first one's free, guys. This podcast, if you enjoy our witty banter, you can become a Patreon on the site and listen to all future podcasts. We're also going to feature essays on the writing process or scenes we've cut or just whatever is on our minds this week. And in the distant future, for our top tier supporters, there will be a print version of the book, which will be look great on your shelves, assuming this book comes out good, which it will, right?
Yeah, we have faith that this is going to turn out great. I mean, we know what we're doing. We are very talented storytellers.
Highly professional and
highly professional,
highly successful.
Hey, at the very least, it will be a memory. You can be like, I remember when I was following these wacky authors on Patreon and they produced this and I have it. So there.
So we'll see you next month if you become a supporter, which you should. So until then, remember to stay paranormal and stay piratey, internet.
And coming of age. And I'm KB Hoyle. And
I'm Luke T. Harrington.
That's your name.
And we'll see you at our website, whatever that ends up being.
Yes, we will post it. Thanks for listening.